Blog Talk Radio.
Up under Messiah.
today. Okay, and so we're going to look at these things. We're going to look at the atonement and understand how the sanctuary worked in the past. And, you know, we are that sanctuary today. But how Messiah brought atonement about and what you can do to actually lose. And so when we celebrate the Day of Atonement, then we need to understand what we're celebrating. Now, the Day of Atonement was never designed for Israel that was guilty to get their sins taken away from them. Not what it was designed for. Well, let me say it this way. It wasn't designed to take away the sins of Israel that were willful, that were presumptuous, okay? That, you know, this man or this woman knew what they were doing. They did it and then tried to bring a sacrifice. And then all of a sudden on the Day of Atonement, everything that they had done was wiped away. It didn't work that way. And a lot of people tend to believe that that's how it worked. And they believe that that's how it works today. Okay, and they believe that that's how they get atonement even up under Messiah. But it doesn't work that way. And it wasn't designed that way. So we're going to look at this in depth. So I pray that you have your pencil and your paper, that you are ready to take notes on today. I don't have this fully developed the way that I want it to, but we're going to go ahead and do it anyway and let Yah, you know, let Yah guide my steps, let He guide my path in doing this, in this precept, because it is critical that the children of Elohim understand His gift of salvation, that they understand how He makes atonement for us, and that He never wanted it in the blood of bulls and goats. Okay, but that's the system that He put in place for the time being until Messiah came. And so we have to understand that the blood of Messiah was greater than the blood of bulls and goats. So if in the blood of Messiah, then you have to, the punishment has to be greater than it was for the offending the blood of bulls and goats. So this is what we're going to be looking at today. And, you know, as I said, we're going to look at the sanctuary. We're going to look at the sacrificial system. We're going to look at how did atonement work yesterday. What I mean by yesterday, in the past, when the sanctuary and the priesthood was doing sacrifice. And then we're going to look at it, how it works up under Messiah. Okay, and why we want to reverence what Messiah has done for us and how we don't want to do anything that would cause us to be able to lose that. Okay, so let us go ahead and I want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk, everybody in Blog Talk, that are on the internet in general, wherever you may be, whether you're in North America or South America, whether you're on the African continent, in the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, or any of the communist bloc countries that are tuning in. We greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. The Day of Atonement for 2022 is the 10th of October this year. The 4th of October, my bad. The 4th of October, Tuesday. So we will be observing Tuesday evening. To Wednesday evening, the 4th through the 5th. It is a day that you are not supposed to work. We're going to read this in the scripture concerning this feast day and what the feast calls for. Okay. All right. That being said, we're going to do our statement of faith. Again, I want to say Shabbat Shalom to everyone. Happy Sabbath. Our statement of faith, let me have the ladies cover their heads, men uncover your heads as we go before the Most High. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your gift of salvation. Thank you for appointing us a day that we should just stop and rest and concentrate on you, O Yah, that we would separate ourselves from the rest of the world and that we would keep your day holy, Father. And so we just thank you today, Father. We magnify your name. We exalt thee and lift thee up. We worship you with our lips, Father, and with our hands, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to you, O Yah Elohim. Glory to you, Father. We just glorify you on today, and we magnify your name. We extol thee, O Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly and that we have walked contrary to you and that you walk contrary to us. He said, but if we will but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. And, Father, we are repenting of our evil ways and turning from our sins, Father, and we won't complain about the judgment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep yourself awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, a spirit of love for you, O love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all those that you should call in Messiah, that they would hear your voice, come and obey, and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom on this day, we ask that you would smile upon this work, and that you would give us favor in all that we do. And we ask that, Father, that Brother Miles decrease and that you increase. Let it be your words that the people hear. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I pray. Amen and amen. Let us go to 1 Kings, chapter 8. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, and verse 46. And we're going to personalize this as always, because we want to keep this always before us. If, 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46, no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive into the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whether we were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us away captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all our heart and with all our soul in the land of our enemy, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee in all our transgressions, wherein we have transgressed against thee, and give us compassion before them who carried us away captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be opened unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as I spake it by the hand of Moses thy servant, when I brought us our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 and 14. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, and verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee, but to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I say, a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other Elohims which you have not known. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12, and verse 1. Deuteronomy, chapter 12, and verse 1. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land which Yah thy Elohim, Elohim of thy fathers, giveth thee to possess it all the days that you live upon the earth. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself serve them, for I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. The book of Proverbs, chapter 8 and verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. John chapter 14 and verse 15. The book of John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right, as we have just celebrated the Feast of Trumpets, but we are still commanded to blow the trumpet in our feast days and in our new moon and on our Sabbath, we shall have the blowing of the shofar. Thank you.
I get so excited when I think of all the things you've done for me. Do as you will, you want done with me. Oh yeah, 'cause I'm tired of fighting. Sometimes it gets hard, I cannot do it alone. 'Cause I need you, yeah, on my side. You are the light up high. To worship you,
and I bow down on my knees.
All praise to
you.
All praise. Up
high,
to worship you,
bow down on my knees,
my knees.
All praise to you.
I vow to be humble. Yeah, hearken to my sincere supplication. When I'm weak and when I stumble, you are always there to catch me when I fall. You are my rock and salvation, only one that I can trust, you're my best friend. Whenever I'm in doubt, to you I'll give a shout. With hands held high, I'll be calling on your name. Yeah, I raise
to worship you.
Bow down. All
praise
to you, up high,
to worship you,
to worship you,
yeah.
I need you, I need you, yeah, I need you. Yeah, I need you. Oh, I need you. Oh, I need you. Oh, I need you. I need you. Oh, I need you.
I
really need you.
Only live by grace and just have faith.
I was taught to listen to what my pastor say. Only you should trust in him, he'll never lead you astray. But now that I know better, he don't even live according to the letter. They throw away the holy scriptures, telling me that it's all done with. That is so simple. Something simple like the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's written that his word don't change. Why do you lie and defy the holy scripture just to satisfy your desire? And now that I know better, he don't even live according to the letter. They throw away the holy scripture, telling me that it's all done with.
I've been changed.
Ain't no going back to what I used to do, no,
I've
no
been
more.
The book of Leviticus, chapter 23, and I pray that you have paper and pencil. We're going to be reading a lot of scripture on today. I'm going to be pointing out a lot of different things, and so I pray that you have, that you take notes, that you get an understanding of how the Most High has always operated and how he still operates today. Leviticus chapter 20, directing Israel to keep the Day of Atonement. And so we're going to look into this. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, Leviticus starting in verse, chapter 23, starting in verse 26. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your soul and offer an offering made by fire unto Yah. And you shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before Yah your Elohim. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among the people, or among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that does any work in that same day, that same soul will I destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls in the 9th day of the month at evening. From evening unto evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. So this is where the Most High directs Israel that on this day, on the 10th day of the 7th month, they were to have a day of atonement, okay? But we want to see how this atonement actually worked. Okay, we want to see how this atonement actually worked. Because this precept is to the Hebrew who has been using the Day of Atonement as a day to, you know, to sin all year long and then come and try to get right with the Most High on this day. So knowing that they were doing wrong and then say, oh, well, I'll just, you know, I'll just repent and I'll make it all right on the Day of Atonement. That's not how it worked. And it's for the New Testament saint that feels that they can just sin and confess their sins, even though they know that they are wrong, confess their sins to the Most High, and that he is true and just to forgive them. When they know that they are willful sins, that they know what they're doing. To these two groups, because they're falling in the categories. Okay, and the Day of Atonement and the afflicting of your soul was never for these individuals. Okay, so we want to look at the scriptures and we're going to look at the sacrificial system and we're going to see what the sanctuary and the tabernacle was actually used for. And what the blood was used for, and just different aspects of this, so we can get an understanding of what the Most High is doing and why he had this Day of Atonement. Let's go to the book of Exodus, chapter 30. And this is the consecration of the priesthood. The book of Exodus, chapter 30, starting in verse 1. And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon it. Now, you got to understand that in the sanctuary, there were two altars. There was the altar of the burnt offering for the sacrifices, and then there was the altar of incense. And the altar of incense was actually more important than the altar of burnt offering. And so when we're reading the scriptures, a lot of times we don't distinguish between these two altars. But we're going to look at the altar of incense, okay, of burnt incense, because this was set outside of the Holy of Holies in front of the mercy seat. And this is what the high priest, you know, he would burn incense on this altar of incense every day. But also there was blood put on this altar of incense. There was no sacrifice made on it, but there was blood put on it. Okay, and this is significant within the scriptures. Okay, so let us read this. A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof, and four square shall it be, and two cubits shall be the height thereof, the horns thereof shall be the same. Now the horns are important. Okay, on this, the horns that were put on this altar of incense. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold in the top thereof and the sides thereof round about, and the horns thereof, and shall make unto it a crown of gold round about. And two golden rings shalt thou make to it under the crown of it, by the two corners thereof. Unto the two sides of it shalt thou make it, and they shall be for places for the staff to bear it withal. And thou shalt make the staffs of shittim wood and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony where I will meet with thee. So the Most High is telling them, hey, build this altar of burnt incense, okay? And you're going to overlay it with gold and you're going to put some horns on it. Okay, and you're going to overlay those horns with gold. Then you're going to make some staffs that are going to carry it. And they're going to be used to carry it. Okay, but you're going to put it by the veil, before the veil. The veil is the veil, the curtain before the Holy of Holies. That is by the Ark of the Testimony, where the Ark of the Covenant is. And the mercy seat is on top of the Ark of the Covenant. Okay? So this is where the Most High would meet Israel at. And once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go behind the veil and make atonement for himself and for the children of Israel. But this was also a cleansing of the sanctuary. And so this day is very important in Israel. It's very important. And to understand what happened, what Messiah did, then you have to understand what's going on here. Because remember, the Most High told Moses that he was going to make a sanctuary after the pattern of the one that's in heaven. So he brought Moses up on top of the mountain. He showed him the sanctuary. He taught him about it. He says, now go down and make it exactly as you have seen. So this ark of this altar of burnt incense is a replica of the one that's in the heaven of heavens. And this is important. Because the priest on the earth, emulated or replicated what was happening or supposed to happen in the heavens, in the sanctuary in heaven. So you have a sanctuary that's on the earth, and you got a sanctuary that's in heaven. The one on the earth is made after the pattern of the one that's in heaven. And so we have this altar of incense, okay, of burnt incense. And the Most High says, he would meet them there. This is where I will come and meet you, on the mercy seat. But you're gonna burn incense before me. Okay? Verse 7. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning when he dresses the lamp. He shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lights the lamp, shall burn incense upon it. A perpetual incense before Yah throughout your generation. So he's supposed to burn incense in the morning and in the evening on this altar of incense. You shall offer no strange incense thereon. The Most High gave them the formula for how to make the incense that was to burn on this altar. And so they couldn't just go down to the local apothecary and buy some incense and then bring it into the sanctuary and burn it on this altar. They had to make it exactly the way that the Most High said to make it. And then they couldn't take this incense out of the altar, out of the temple, and burn it anywhere else. It was a death sentence to do so. So you should offer no strange incense thereon. That means only the incense that I told you how to make it. No burnt sacrifice. This is an altar, but you're not going to offer a burnt sacrifice on it. You're not going to do a meat offering on it. Neither shall you pour your drink offering thereon. Incense and blood is all that goes on this altar. And we'll read the blood part in a few. But incense and blood, and this is important that you understand that. Okay. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horn of it once a year with the blood of the sin offering of the atonement. Once in a year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generation. It is most holy unto Yah. This altar of incense is most holy unto the Most High, unto Yah himself. And Aaron is supposed to make an atonement. He's supposed to reconcile it, supposed to clean it once a year. Okay? Now, what is he cleaning it from? Is he cleaning it from the incense that's been burnt on it? No. Is he cleaning it from something else? Okay, we're going to find that out. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 16. The book of Leviticus, chapter 16. So understand that this altar of burnt incense is different than the altar of burnt offering, where they burnt the actual fat and the meat of the peace offering and the free will offering and the meat offering. They never burnt the flesh of the sin offering on the burnt, the altar of burnt offering. So the sin offering was never burnt there. It was important that we get the details right, okay? Leviticus chapter 16, starting in verse 1. And Yah spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before Yah and died. He's talking about Nadab and Abihu. The Most High came down to dedicate the altar of burnt offering. He came down to dedicate it in front of the nation of Israel. And Nadab and Abihu were told exactly when to burn incense. And they burned incense out of order. They burned it when they weren't supposed to. They saw the Most High coming down and said, oh, I need to burn this incense. And the Most High said that was strange. What he meant by strange simply meant that you burnt that when it wasn't supposed to be burned. And they died. He burnt them up. The same fire that came out of him and consumed the sacrifice that was on the altar consumed them. And he said, I will be sanctified before you. You're going to treat me special. You're going to do exactly what I say to do, how I say to do it, when I say to do it. And you're not going to do what you want to do. So I'm going to let all the people see me burn you up for burning incense out of order, so that they know not to become presumptuous and be presumptuous like you two were. So he's bringing this back to Moses' remembrance. And Yah spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before Yah and died, to Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place. Tell Aaron, don't come into the holy of holies anytime he want to come in here. That he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. He has been appointed when to come into the Holy of Holies, and any other time he cannot go in there. So you're the high priest, but you don't just pop in here whenever you want to. You don't just come in here and try to command an audience with me whenever you want to. You only get to come in here one day out of the year. And this happens to be on the Day of Atonement. Okay? Verse 3. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Now, these two, you're going to see this combination a lot. Two sacrifices, and this is important. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and he shall be girded with the linen girdle, and with the linen mitre, that's the hat, shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. When he comes in here, don't come in here in your everyday clothes. Put on the holy garment. Wash your body and put on the holy garments. Then you can approach. He couldn't approach the Most High in an unclean state. Just like we are not to approach the Most High in an unclean state. But, you know, we feel today that we can just approach the Most High just anytime we want to. No matter what we've been doing. You know, we think we can just go before him, but that's never been how it is. Okay. These are holy garments. Therefore, he shall wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. Verse 5. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of the goat for a sin offering and 1 ram for a burnt offering. Now he has already, the Most High has already told him to take a bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. In addition to that, he's supposed to take 2 kids of the goat for a sin offering for the children of Israel and 1 ram for a burnt offering. So this is a 5 animals that he's taking in here. Now let's see what he does with these. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. He shall be clean when he comes in here, and then he has to offer a sin offering for himself and make an atonement for himself and for his house, because they are the priesthood, and they are the closest thing to the Most High. If he approaches into the Holy of Holies in an unclean state, unatoned for, he would die. And then they would have a problem, because who else can go in there? Then one of his sons would have to dress up, clean up, and go in and pull him out. So what they would do is they would tie a rope around the high priest, around their waist, when they went into the Holy of Holies, in case they died, in case they didn't meet the standard. And if they died, then they would drag them out of there. Okay? So he had to make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the 2 goats and present them before Yah at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the 2 goats. 1 lot for Yah. And 1 lot for Yah, and the other lot for a scapegoat. Now, we've heard of a scapegoat before. Okay. And this scapegoat was not killed. The scapegoat was used for something else as part of the cleansing. Okay. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which Yah's lot fell. He cast lots. This lot, if the lot came up this, then this particular animal is dedicated to Yah. And then the other animal would become the scapegoat. Okay? And Aaron shall cast lots upon the 2 goats, 1 lot for Yah and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which Yah's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. So the animal in which the lot fell that said that this animal belonged to the Most High was offered up as a sacrifice, sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before Yah to make an atonement with him. We're going to make an atonement with this scapegoat, not the sin offering. This animal that lost his life for the sin offering was not the atonement. It was the scapegoat that was the atonement. Shall be presented alive before Yah to make an atonement with him and to make him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of the burning coals of fire from off the altar before Yah, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. So he takes this blood for the sin offering, and he takes some incense, and he brings it inside of the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before Yah, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. If he don't present this incense, if he don't burn this incense, if the Most High don't smell this incense, he dies. Okay? And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with a finger upon the mercy seat eastward. Before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle the blood with his finger seven times. So he sprinkles the mercy seat with the blood, and first he offers the incense, then he sprinkles the blood on the mercy seat seven times. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering. This is for the people. Now I got to kill another animal for the people. The blood that I offered of the ram that was for himself and his household, that can't be used for the people. And bring his blood within the veil. So now he kills one of the goats that he bought of the two kids that he bought for the people. One was a sin offering. The other was a scapegoat. And he kills it and brings his blood within the veil. And do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock. And put it upon the mercy seat before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place. This is a cleansing, okay, because of the uncleanliness of the children of Israel and because of their transgression and all their sins. So you have to ask yourself, when did the mercy seat and when did the altar of burnt incense, when did they get unclean? When did they get dirty? And why didn't he bring some spick and span in there or some fuller soap? Why is he cleansing these altars with blood? Okay, because this is what he's doing. He's making an atonement, but he's cleansing them from the uncleanliness of the children of Israel because of their transgressions and all their sins. Shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanliness? And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goes in to make.
Is now in the conference.
When he goes in to make atonement in the holy place. So there can't be anybody else in the tabernacle. The people are supposed to be outside the tabernacle, and they're supposed to be afflicting their souls. They're supposed to be remembering their transgressions. Okay? An atonement in the holy place until he come out and have made atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. Now, when we see this, all the congregation of Israel, understand that this all does not include everybody who sinned presumptuously. So I'm going to have to show you that in the scripture. So that you understand, all don't always mean all, every last person, not even in the New Testament. All can apply to a specific group, all of that group. Okay, and he shall go out unto the altar that is before Yah and make an atonement for it. Now, he shall go out unto the altar that is before Yah. This is the altar of burnt incense, not the altar of burnt sacrifice. So there was an altar that they burnt the animals on. They burnt the fat on, the blood. No, not the blood. They burnt the fat on. They burnt the kidneys. And if it was a peace offering or a free will offering or a meat offering, they burnt those things. Okay? But upon the altar that is before Yah, the altar that is before Yah, before the veil, it's the altar of burnt incense. And make an atonement for it. Got to clean it. And so take up the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat and put it upon the horn of the altar round about. So he's going to take the blood that he just, of the same bullock that he made for the sin offering, of one for himself, family, and one for the children of Israel, and put that blood on the horns of the altar of burnt incense. Now the Most High says you're not going to put any burnt offering on here. You're not going to put any meat offering on here. You're not going to put any drink offering on here. You're going to burn incense on it. And then on these horns, you're going to put this blood. And you're going to do this to make an atonement for the whole nation once a year. Now, this is teaching him how to make atonement for the nation, how to clean up the altar. But you got to ask, how did the altar get dirty? Said because of the sins of the children of Israel. But how did the sins of the children of Israel make this altar dirty, unclean, where it had to be cleaned up? That's what you have to be asking yourself. And so we're going to dig into this so that you understand how the sacrificial system and how the sanctuary worked. No doubt in your mind, so you see what the Most High is doing. Okay. So this is on the Day of Atonement. And this is what he had to do. Verse 19. And he shall sprinkle the blood upon it with his finger seven times and cleanse it, just like he did on the mercy seat. Sprinkle the blood upon it with his finger seven times and cleanse it. Clean it with blood. Not with Ajax. Not with some soap. But cleanse this altar of burnt incense and the mercy seat with blood. And hallow it from the uncleanliness of the children of Israel. And when he has made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. So he has cleansed these. Okay. Now he's got to bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel. Confess all their sins. Place your hands on the head of the scapegoat and confess all of the sins of the children of Israel. And you're going to transfer all the sins of the children of Israel to this scapegoat, to this live goat. Okay, this is the system that the Most High put in place. Okay. And confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgression and all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat. And shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. So one of the priests would have to carry this goat into the wilderness, away from the city, away from anybody else, into someplace wild, and let it go. Okay? And the goat shall bear upon him all the iniquity unto a land not inhabited. And he shall let the goat go in the wilderness. How the Most High transferred the sins. Now, how did the sins of the children of Israel get in there? Question number two you got to ask yourself. How did the sins of the children of Israel get into the sanctuary that it had to be cleaned up? And then it had to be cleaned up on one day out of the year, the Day of Atonement. So I want us to see this process. Now, they haven't started making sin sacrifices yet. The Most High is showing Aaron how to do this. This is what you're going to do on the Day of Atonement. This is how you're going to clean the sanctuary. This is how you're going to clean and sanctify the mercy seat. This is how you're going to clean and sanctify the altar of burnt incense. This is how you're going to sanctify and clean the rest of the sanctuary. clean it from what? The uncleanliness of the children of Israel, of their sin. So your question should be, well, how did they get in there? Because this is going to be, this is going to tell you how this worked. If you ask that question, then the scripture is going to tell you how this worked. Okay, but if you don't ever ask that question, then you'll never know. Let's continue. Verse 22 again. And the goat shall bear upon him all the iniquities unto the land not inhabited, and he shall let the goat go into the wilderness. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall put off the linen garments. He shall take off your holy garments now, which he put on when he went into the holy place. He only wears these garments into the holy of holies, and shall leave them there. And he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place and put on his garments. Because anything that he has just done, even though his clothes may have blood on them, they are not considered to be dirty. They are considered to be holy. The altar of burnt incense is considered to be most holy. And the mercy seat, most holy. And he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place and put on his garments. Now put on his other garments and come forth and offer his burnt offerings and the burnt offerings of the people and make an atonement for himself and for the people. And the fat of the sin offering shall be burnt, shall he burn upon the altar. The fat of it. And it's important to underline that. It's the fat of it, the sin offering. Not the meat of the sin offering, but the fat of it. And he that let the goat for the scapegoat to wash his clothes and bathe in flesh and water and afterwards come into the camp. When he picked up this animal, with whoever the priest was that carried this animal into the wilderness, because he had touched this animal, he was unclean. And he couldn't enter back into the camp until he had washed. And wash this uncleanliness off of him. Now, usually you were unclean until the evening. But the Most High said he was doing his duty. So he shall wash and he will be clean. And he can come back into the camp at that time. Verse 27. And the bullock for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought to make the atonement in the holy place, shall one carry forth without the camp. Okay, so the goat for the sin offering and the bullock for the sin offering, you got to carry them outside the camp. And they shall burn in the fire their skins and their flesh and their dung outside the camp. Not on the offering of burnt offerings, not where they burnt the fat at. The fat is the Most High. He said, this is a sweet savor unto me. This is a sweet smell unto me. But that sin offering, that flesh, the priest ain't going to eat it. You're going to burn that outside the camp. And he that burns them shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterwards he shall come into the camp, because these sin offerings are unclean. They are full of sin. The sin was transferred to the animal. Remember when he put his head on the head of the bull and on the head of the lamb, the goat, and he announced the iniquities, he pronounced the iniquities, the sins of the children of Israel, and transferred them now for the Day of Atonement, rather than putting it on to these animals, he puts it on the scapegoat. The scapegoat is only used once a year. But these animals were killed for sin. The atonement was made by the scapegoat. The scapegoat didn't die. Okay. Verse 29. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your soul and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourns among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before Yah. Now, when they're bringing these animals, now we're going to go into this in some more depth, saying that on this day, it's the day that the priest makes an atonement for them, for their sins. But the people are bringing sin offerings all year long. Those that were eligible for bringing sin offerings. Okay? Verse 30 again. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement. So you can't work. You can't be doing anything else but afflicting yourself, remembering your sin, and the sin that you're remembering is not willful sin. So I'm going to show you why that is. Okay? It's not willful sin. Sin that you're remembering is sin that you committed ignorantly. That you committed, you didn't know it was sin until you were told it was sin. And the day that you found out that it was sin, you made a sacrifice. You bought a sacrifice. So we're going to read this so that, you know, we as a people have an understanding of this system. The priest on the Day of Atonement is going to make an atonement for all the sins of Israel that were ignorant, that were accidental. Okay, let's keep on reading. But I want you to understand, make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before Yah. So underline that. Write it down, because we're going to get clarification on that. We're going to get clarification on that, because when we read it, and this is what a lot of people do, they will half read the scripture. Okay? It shall be a Sabbath rest unto you, and you shall afflict your soul by a statute forever. And the priest whom he shall anoint, whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead, shall make the atonement and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments. In other words, if it wasn't Aaron's turn to act in the place of the high priest, or if there was another, Aaron died, and one of his sons took the place of the high priest, and they were supposed to do this. Okay, and he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation, and for the altar, and he shall make an atonement for the priest, and for all the people of the congregation. That's who the atonement is being made for. It's to clean everything and everyone who is eligible. First, let's clean up the tabernacle. Let's clean up the sanctuary. To clean up the altar of burnt incense. And now let's make an atonement and clean up the priest. And now the people. This is what this is all about. And it had to be done in this order. Okay? Verse 34. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. Now, again, I want you to underline all. Because, again, you may read this and say, well, this says all their sins. And it does. But all don't mean all. The all is quantified. is qualified in other places. And he did as Yah commanded Moses. See that the Most High has commanded Aaron how to make atonement for himself, for the sanctuary, for the priests, for the children of Israel. How to clean up the sanctuary and how to make everything clean and brand new for the next year. And it was done with blood. Okay. Now, again, we're going to now go and look into some things because I want to show you that if it was intentional sin, it didn't qualify. It was not in the sanctuary. Go to the book of Numbers, chapter 15. So we're looking at atonement yesterday. Because in order to understand atonement today, you got to understand the Most High changes not. So you need to understand, what is Messiah doing right now? But remember, the sanctuary on the earth was made after the pattern of the one in heaven. And the priesthood on the earth was emulating the duties of what's being done in the heaven, except for Messiah only had to do it once. But so that you understand what went on, even with Messiah. Numbers chapter 15, starting in verse 22. And if you have erred, erred means that you made a mistake. When you err at something, it's not something intentional. You made a mistake. You made an error. When you have erred and not observed all these commandments which Yah has spoken unto Moses, even all that Yah has commanded you by the hands of Moses, from the day that Yah commanded Moses and henceforth among your generation. So everything that Moses told you, if you err and don't do something out of ignorance, you forgot. But you didn't willfully do it. You made an error. Okay? Even all that Yah has commanded you, all that he has commanded, this is not just for this day. This is from the very beginning when he brought them out of Egypt, brought them to Sinai, and gave them his laws, statutes, commandments, and judgments. If you err at any of these, then this is what you're supposed to do. Verse 24. Then it shall be, if aught be committed by underlying ignorance. That's an important word. If you did it by ignorance, without the knowledge of the congregation, that all the congregation shall offer one bullock. Now, he's starting off with the group. If the congregation as a whole is doing something that they ought not do out of error, maybe it wasn't covered, maybe they didn't know, but it's still sin. And the day that is brought to their attention, that all the congregation shall offer one bullock for a burnt offering, for a sweet savor unto Yah, with his meat offering and his drink offering, according to the manner, and one of the kid goats for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for all the congregation of the children of Israel, and it shall be forgiven them, for it is ignorant, not willful, not presumptuous. It is ignorant. Underline that. In most of your books, it should already be underlined. And they shall bring their offering, a sacrifice made by fire unto Yah, and their sin offering before Yah, for it is ignorant. And it shall be forgiven all the congregation of the children of Israel. And the stranger that sojourns among them, seeing all the people were in ignorance. Underline that. Very important. Because this is what Yah would forgive. This is what would be, what atonement could be made for. Go back to verse 25. I want you to underline this because we're talking about atonement. And the priest shall make an atonement. Underline that. Because of their ignorance. Now, this sin offering, just to answer this question ahead of time, but we're going to read the scriptures. Now, I'm going to show you in the scriptures. This sin offering that was made, stayed in the blood that was sacrificed, is how the sin got into the sanctuary. When the priest made the atonement for the ignorant sin, this is how the sin got into the sanctuary. This is how the sanctuary became unclean. Somebody, in this case, the congregation ignorantly sinned. They learned that they ignorantly sinned. They brought the required sacrifice, the sin sacrifice. An atonement was made, and that sin was stored in the sanctuary. Now, I'll show you this in when we get to Leviticus chapter 3:4. Okay. But understand that the sacrifice, the sin sacrifice, and the atonement was for ignorant sin, not willful sin. And it shall be forgiven the congregation of the children of Israel, and the stranger sojourns among them, shall all the people were in ignorance. And if any soul sin through ignorance, now it's going to go to the individual. If any soul sin through, underline again, through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly. When he sins by ignorance, I mean, he can't say it more times than this. There's a distinction. There's a differentiation, a distinguishing here between the type of sin. Didn't matter what you did unless you blasphemed the Most High, the Ruach HaKodesh. Everything else, if it was in ignorance, you could make a sacrifice for it. You could be atoned who did it in ignorance. Verse 28, and the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sins ignorantly, when he sinneth by ignorance before Yah, to make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. Now, when he makes this sacrifice, he's not actually forgiven yet. This sin is transferred to the animal that is killed, and the animal that is killed, blood is in the sanctuary. Okay? You shall have one law for him that sins through ignorance, both for him that is born of the children among the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourns among them. Verse 30. But the soul that does aught presumptuously. Presumptuously means willingly, knowledgeably, knowingly. But the soul that does not knowingly or willingly, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproaches Yah, the same offends Yah, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he has despised the word of Yah and has broken his commandment. He willfully broke the commandment. That soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. He can't get atonement. His sins are not transferred to any animal. and put into the sanctuary. This person bears their iniquity. They keep it. Why? Because it was willful. It was not ignorantly. And while the children of Israel, now he's going to give you an example, okay? While the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that was gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. You ain't supposed to do no work on the Sabbath day. You ain't supposed to light no fires on the Sabbath day. And this man is out gathering sticks. And they found him gathering sticks. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. This is a new thing. And they put him inward. They locked him up because it was not declared what should be done to him. And Yah said unto Moses, the man shall utterly be put to death for picking up sticks on the Sabbath, for willfully transgressing. That's what he means by being cut off. That's why all does not mean all. All of Israel who the priests are making atonement for, they have not willfully sinned. Because if you willfully sin and you were caught, you were killed. That's the bottom line. So when they're making atonement for all Israel, it's all Israel that sinned ignorantly. They could make an atonement. Okay? But this fellow right here, this individual who willfully sinned, the Most High said, you shall surely put him to death. That's what it means to be cut off. Don't mean that, oh, kick him out. You cut off, you got put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones. And he died, as Yah commanded Moses. So I want you to understand that when you ignorantly sin, Most I said, yeah, you could bring a sin and be atoned for. You willfully sinned. If you knowingly sinned and you went ahead and did it, there was no sacrifice for you. There was no blood for that. And you were killed. Okay? Understand how the Most High works. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 3. The book of Leviticus chapter 3. Starting in verse 1. Now, I'm going to read this. It's going to be a lengthy read, but I'm going to point out some things. And I want you to pay attention and underline, because there's a difference in the way a sacrifice for a peace offering or a free will offering or a meat offering that was not for sin was handled and the way a sin offering was handled. Okay. Starting in verse 1, Leviticus chapter 3, starting in verse 1. And if his oblation be a sacrifice of a peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be a male or a female, he shall offer it without blemish for Yah. Don't be bringing me some crippled animal. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the offering. Now, here's the thing. You're going to lay your hand on the head of the offering, whether it is a peace offering, a free will offering, a meat offering, so that it is associated with you. But you're also going to lay your hands on the head of the animal if it is a sin offering. So this is to transfer your association to the animal. Just like Aaron was told to lay his hands on the head of the scapegoat, the person, when they were bringing a sacrifice to the Most High, they laid their hands on the head of their offering. and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. Now, this sprinkling of the blood is the altar of burnt incense. It's where they're sprinkling this blood. And he shall offer the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto Yah, the fat that covers the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys and the fat that is on them, which is by the flank, and the caul above the liver, which is the kidneys, and it shall he take away. And Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice. So the fat and the kidneys were burnt upon the altar of burnt sacrifice, which is a different altar than the altar of burnt incense, upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire, a sweet smell unto Yah. And if his offering be offering for a sacrifice of a peace offering unto Yah be of the flock, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. If he offer a lamb of his offering, then he shall offer it before Yah. And he shall lay his hands upon the head of his offering and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation, at the door to the tabernacle. And Aaron's son shall sprinkle the blood thereof around upon the altar. Again, this is the altar of burnt incense and not the altar of burnt offering, burnt sacrifice. Okay? And he shall offer the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto Yah, the fat thereof and the whole rump. And it shall he take off hard at the backbone, and the fat that covers the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flank, and the caul above the liver, and the kidneys, take away. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar. Now this is the altar of burnt sacrifice here. Because it's not distinguishing, we just say altar. But you got to know, the Most High said, you don't burn on the altar of burnt incense. You don't burn flesh. You don't put the drink offering on it. You don't put the meal offering on it. So this altar that they're burning this flesh on is the altar of burnt sacrifice. It's a different altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire unto Yah. And if his offering be a goat, then he shall offer it before Yah. And he shall lay his hands upon the head of it and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood thereof upon the altar. This altar, again, is the altar of burnt incense round about. And he shall offer thereof his offering, even an offering made by fire unto Yah, the fat that covereth the inward, and the fat that is upon the inward, and the two kidneys and the fat upon them, which is the flank, and the caul above the liver, and with the kidneys, and it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar of burnt offering, of burnt sacrifice. It is food of the offering made by fire, a sweet smell. All the fat is Yah. That's why Yah says it is a sin for any of his people to eat fat. All the fat is his. And when it's burning on the fire, it smells sweet to him. That's why he tells you don't consume blood. Okay. It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations through all your dwellings, that you eat neither fat nor the blood. The fat belongs to Yah. Even today. Leviticus chapter 4. Now, you see that they're sprinkling the blood on the altar. It is the altar of burnt incense. Okay. And then they burn the fat, the kidneys, upon the altar of burnt sacrifice. Now let's go to Leviticus chapter 4. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance, again, through ignorance, against any of the commandments of Yah concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according, now he's going to talk about the priest. We're going to start at the priesthood. Now I want you to pay particular attention here, okay? If the priest is anointed to do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin offering, which he has, a young bullock without blemish, unto Yah for a sin offering. And he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before Yah. Now he couldn't go in and perform the duties of the priest. He's a priest, but he couldn't go in and do this for himself. He had to put his hands on the head of this bull that he was sacrificing to transfer his sins to this bull. Another priest had to do the sprinkling of the blood. And he shall lay his hands upon the bull's head and kill the bull before Yah. And the priest that is anointed, the priest that's on duty that is anointed, shall take up the bullock's blood, bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his fingers in the blood and sprinkle the blood seven times before Yah, before the veil of the sanctuary. Now, you need to underline that. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense, not the altar of burnt sacrifice. He's going to put some of this blood on the horns of the altar of sweet incense before Yah, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, underline the next. And shall pour all the blood of the bullock, all the blood that's left over, of the bullock at the bottom of the altar of burnt offering. So when he put his hand on the head of the bullock, he transferred the sin that he had committed in ignorance to this animal. He killed this animal and the blood was taken. If he was a priest, and it was sprinkled seven times on the veil between the Holy of Holies. And then some of the blood was taken and wiped on the horns of the altar of burnt incense. And then the rest of the blood was poured at the foot of the altar of burnt offering. And that blood contained the sin. The other blood was for the atonement before Yah on the altar of burnt incense and before the veil. That was for the atonement. But this blood, the rest of the blood of the sin offering was poured at the bottom of the altar. That is how this blood, the sin, got in here. Okay. Which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So the altar of burnt offering is at the door of the congregation. And the altar of burnt incense is an altar that is before the throne of the Most High. Understand the difference between the two altars. Okay. Verse 8. And he shall take off from it all the fat of the bullock from the sin offering, the fat that covers the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards. Remember, the fat belongs to Yah. And the two kidneys, fat is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And it was taken off from the bullock of the sacrifice of the peace, and as it was taken off from the bullock of the sacrifice of the peace offering, the priest shall burn them upon the altar of the burnt offering, not on the altar of the burnt incense, but on the altar of the burnt offering, a different altar. And the skin of the bullock and all his flesh with his head and with his legs and with his inwards and with his dung. Even the whole bullock shall he carry forth without the camp unto a clean place where the ashes are poured out, and burn him on the wood with the fire. Where the ashes are poured out shall he be burned. So the rest of the animal, the priest didn't eat. The peace offering he heaved up. He cooked part of it and he ate it. It wasn't for sin. But the sin, all of the rest of the animal, was taken outside of the camp and burned. Okay? Verse 13. And if the whole congregation, now we just talked about the priest, and the distinction between the priest was that the blood for his sin offering had to be sprinkled before the veil of the Holy of Holies. They didn't go inside there. They just sprinkled it on the curtain. And they sprinkled it, then they wiped some of the blood on the horns of burnt incense. And then all the rest of the blood of the animal was poured at the foot, at the bottom of the altar of burnt sacrifice. Now we're going to talk about the congregation. And if the whole congregation of Israel sinned through ignorance, reiterating this again, and the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of Yah concerning things which should be done, and are guilty. They're guilty, but they did it ignorantly. When the sin which they have sinned against it is known, when it's known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin offering and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation. Now the people in charge, the elders, because there's a place for elders. The elders represent the people. The elders enforce the law, not the priesthood. The elders do. The elders of the congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock before Yah, and the bullock shall be killed before Yah. Now, all the elders are doing is to transfer the sins of the people to this bullock. And they're going to kill the bullock. And the priest that is anointed, whoever's acting in the place of the high priest, shall bring in the bullock's blood to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in some of the blood and sprinkle it seven times before Yah, even before the veil. So he's going to sprinkle it like he did for the priesthood, because it's for the whole congregation, on the veil. And he shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar. This is the altar of sweet incense, which is before Yah, that is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour out all the blood at the bottom of the altar of burnt offering, just like he did for himself, or when a priest did it. Pour out all the rest of that blood of the sin offering at the bottom of the altar of burnt offering, which is at the door of the congregation, of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall take all the fat from him and burn it upon the altar, the altar of burnt offering. And he shall do with the bullock as he did with the bullock of the sin offering. He so shall he do with them, make an atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. And he shall carry forth the bullock without the camp and burn him as he burned the first bullock. Take all the rest of him and take him to a clean place outside the camp and burn this sin offering. It is a sin offering for the congregation. Verse 22, and when a ruler has sinned and done somewhat through ignorance, now this is a ruler, a king like David, has sinned and done somewhat through the ignorance, against any of the commandments of Yah, his Elohim, concerning things which should not be done, and is guilty, or if his sin wherein he has sinned come to his knowledge, he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goat, a male without blemish. And he shall lay his hands upon the head of the goat and kill it in the place where they kill the burnt offerings before Yah, the door of the tabernacle. It is a sin offering. And the priest shall take the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it upon the horns of the altar of the burnt offering. and shall pour out his blood at the bottom of the burnt offering. Now, what changed? He's not going to sprinkle the blood of the king's sin offering at the veil. And he's not going to wipe the blood upon the altar of burnt incense. He's going to wipe the blood on the altar, on the horns of the altar of the burnt offering. And to pour out his blood at the bottom of the altar of burnt offering. And that's where his sins are going to be stored. This is how the sins get into the sanctuary. And he shall burn all the fat upon the altar as the fat of the sacrifice of the peace offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him as concerning his sin, and he shall be forgiven him, and it shall be forgiven him. And if any one of the common people, you and I, we ain't royalty, we ain't, you know, we ain't in leadership. If one of the common people sin through ignorance, while he does somewhat against any of the commandments of Yah concerning things which ought not to be done and be guilty, or if his sin which he has sinned come to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering of the kid of the goat, the female without blemish, for his sin which he has sinned. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering and slay the sin offering in the place of the burnt offering that's at the door of the tabernacle. And the priest shall take the blood thereof with his finger and put upon the horn of the altar of burnt offering, not upon the horn of the burnt incense. And shall pour out the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar of burnt offering. And he shall take away all the fat thereof as the fat is taken away from off the sacrifice of the peace offering. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar of sweet savor unto Yah, a sweet savor unto Yah, the fat and the kidneys, a sweet savor unto Yah. And the priest shall make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. And if he bring a lamb for a sin offering, he shall bring it a female without blemish. And he shall lay his hands upon the head of the sin offering and lay it for a sin offering in the place where they kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall take up the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it upon the horns of the altar of the burnt offering and shall offer out of the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar. So pour out of the blood. So we see this over and over again. If you were a common man, you weren't of the priesthood, then your sin, the blood for your sin offering, got wiped on the horn of the altar of burnt offering, of burnt sacrifice. And the blood, all the blood was poured, rest of the burnt offering's blood was poured at the bottom of the altar of burnt offering. But if you were a priest, or if it was for the entire congregation, then the blood was sprinkled at the on the veil, the curtain between the Holy of Holies, and then some was wiped upon the altar of burnt incense. And then the rest of the blood was poured at the bottom of the altar of burnt sacrifice. Different procedures for different people. All of it was for ignorant sin. So if you sin willfully, the scripture says your iniquity remained upon you. You couldn't bring a sacrifice. Your sins could not enter into the sanctuary, and you could not be made atoned for. Now, on the Day of Atonement, would bring in a new animal. And this animal was special. These two animals were special. One was going to be sacrificed to Yah, and one was going to be the scapegoat. And on the Day of Atonement, the priest would announce all of the sins of Israel that were stored in the sanctuary at the foot, at the base of the altar of burnt offering, where all that blood was poured. And then he would cleanse it with blood. And he would make atonement for all of the people, himself, the priesthood, and all the congregation. On the Day of Atonement, up under that system, is the day that their sins were forgiven. They were allowed to bring their sins and make the atonement, make the sacrifice, so the sin would be in the sanctuary. On the Day of Atonement, the priest would go in and make a sacrifice that would wash away all those sins. That's what the Day of Atonement was for. So you weren't allowed to work. You weren't allowed to do anything because this was a very important day in the eyes of the Most High. I'm going to forgive your sins today. You deserve to be punished, so go in there and afflict yourself. Serve death because you sinned. But because it was ignorant sin, I didn't charge you with it. And I allowed you to make atonement for it. But if it was willful sin, if it was presumptuous sin, you never got to make a sacrifice for that, and you were killed. You were killed. So those sins never got into the sanctuary, and they were not forgiven on the Day of Atonement. And quite frankly, you shouldn't have been around. Now we're at 6:50, so tomorrow I will do atonement today. And we're going to be coming from Hebrews chapter 10. Actually, Hebrews 8, 9, and 10. So I'm going to show you how, what Messiah did and what was the importance of his sacrifice and the importance of his blood and why you cannot, the Most High allows you under grace to bring all of your sin to Messiah under grace one time. Not forever. By grace are you saved, but you are not maintained by grace. And this is what they say, oh, you're under grace, so no matter how many times you sin, all you got to do is confess it. And he is true and just to forgive you. But that is a lie from the pits of hell. The Most High has never but one time, that's what the beauty is in the gospel. I'm going to allow you to come one time, and whether your sins were ignorant or whether they were willful, I'm going to forgive you in Messiah one time. From that point on, you are accountable. From that point on, you can't willfully sin. You can't sin presumptuously. He says, or your iniquity will remain upon you. He didn't allow the person in Torah, if they sin presumptuously, knowingly, willfully, to bring a sacrifice. They were killed. He says, now, after you know what you've done with Messiah, after you've come to him and you know the truth, don't think that you can just go out and knowingly sin. There's no atonement for that. There's no blood for that. So we're going to read this on tomorrow so we understand that the Most High didn't change. He didn't change the system. He didn't change with Messiah. What he simply did was say, okay, I told the nation of Israel, this is what I want you to do. Now, if somebody, after I've told them, willfully breaks it, you're going to kill them without mercy. They don't get to come and say, I'm sorry. You knew what you were doing. David knew that David was supposed to die. He knew that. But Yah says he will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. And he would impute whoever sins to whomever he wants to impute them to. And that's what people are relying on today. Well, I hope the Most High don't impute my sin against me. I'm here to tell you today that if you look through the scriptures, the Most High charges people more than he forgives them when it is willful. You got to be awful special, like David special, to even think that the Most High is not going to charge you. And you taking a chance. And David knew that he had took a chance. So when we read it, when we go over this in the morning, we're getting ready for the Day of Atonement. That when we go before the Most High, that we go before him in spirit and in truth. This is not a day for you to bring your sins and say, forgive me. But it is a day to acknowledge your ignorant sin, things that you were doing that you didn't know before. You've done through the year. You can bring them and confess them. You don't have to confess them to me. If they are ignorant, then Messiah is true and just to forgive you. But if they were presumptuous or willful, then you're in a whole nother boat. So we are to acknowledge this on the Day of Atonement. And it's perpetual, it's forever. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we come before you right now, Father. Father, it has always been your premise that you hate a prideful and a disobedient child. You hate a prideful and a willfully disobedient child. And that your punishment for such has always been death. It has never been a timeout. It has never been go sit in the corner. But your punishment was death for transgressing your law. Father, help us that if we walk in ignorance, that we are still sinning even though it's in ignorance, but that we acknowledge our sins the day that we find out about them, that we acknowledge it and repent and turn away from them. And you are sure and just to forgive us because we did it in ignorance. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. So we will look at atonement today. And we'll look at what the church is doing and what we cannot do on the Day of Atonement. That we can't be using the Day of Atonement or a Messiah as a sin ATM or as a forgiveness ATM, especially if it's for willful sin. You'll say, oh, no, your account is overdrawn. Ain't nothing in here for you. So we'll read that on tomorrow because I don't want anybody to say Brother Miles said. But just as we read on this evening, that the Most High forgives ignorant sin. We play a record, a song, and we will dismiss on this evening. And again, happy Sabbath to everyone. And I pray that you got some edification from this lesson.
Power by your spirit, God, send your are the temple, you are the voice, we are your song. You are our God, we are your people, you are the light, we stand in awe.
Yeah.
Happy Sabbath. Remember, fear Yah and keep His commandments.
Shalom, family. Happy
and blessings.